You know, it was a couple of weeks ago when we broke the story on this program on a Friday that those working in the office of Mayor Greg Ballard were receiving raises ranging from 6 to 22% in dollar terms, anywhere from $3,000 to $4,000 to $22,000. I asked people to raise their hands if you had a raise of that size, and virtually no one maybe one or two people raised their hands, you know, and got that kind of blessing. This story has endangered a firestorm. It became the 8th most clicked on story ever on praiseindy.com. 8th most clicked on praiseindy.com. 1, 2, the television stations all covered it and had an explosion of comments from their viewers saying, what the? You know, the Indianapolis Star editorial page kind of said, wait a minute, this is kind of, you know, weird. The cartoonist for the Indianapolis Star, the very conservative Gary Varvel, said, oh, this is not right. And in response to that, the mayor, nobody's seen him. He's made no verbal response. His communications director, who was the beneficiary of a $10,000 raise, said, it's okay to us. So this morning, Brian Mayhem, the vice president of the city county council, one of the majority Democrats, held a news conference and said, I'm going to let him say what he said. But about 30 minutes ago on Twitter, the mayor of Indianapolis, instead of, he's not supposed to be a politician, he's supposed to be a great manager, sends out a tweet on Twitter saying, quote, very disappointed, Brian Mayhern is blocking hundreds of millions in economic development investment and thousands of potential jobs. So obviously, the mayor, Brian Mayhern, is not going to get a Christmas card from the mayor. Brian Mayhern, the vice president of council, joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you, Amos. I was joined this morning by members of the Democratic caucus who mm-hmm. share with me and with the community, quite honestly, the outrage at the raises that were granted to the mayor's senior staff. We now in Indianapolis are suffering and are struggling. We know that the unemployment rate ticked up by 0.5% in June. There's 2,300 more people unemployed in Marion County than there was in May. Total of 140,000 people unemployed. Puts us in the bottom third of the state in unemployment. We have 30,000 vacant houses, vacant and abandoned houses. Right. We've seen all kinds of revenue losses. Our libraries are running on reduced hours. Swimming pools are closing early. We are facing a potential $60 million budget shortfall next year that is looking as though there may have to be some fairly drastic cuts in public safety funding. And it was against this backdrop of shared sacrifice and community pain that Mayor Ballard decided 3 months ago to grant his senior staff members pay raises in excess of $22,000 for individuals almost making $100,000, and some raises as much as 30%. It's simply unacceptable. It's a question not only of timing, but sensitivity and judgment about where we are as a community, what we're going through, and what the challenges remain. So we called this morning for the mayor to rescind those raises to protect that extra money for essential public safety services. There's no guarantee that the public safety services budgeted last year are going to last through the end of the year. Mm-hmm. We've been given no assurances to that. And we know that there will be budget challenges next year. So to the extent that the mayor feels as though there is extra money in his budget for raises, where much of the work, in my opinion, is left undone, I think we should spend less time patting ourselves on the back, but get back to work for the resident taxpayers of Marion County and creating the kind of opportunities that we don't have today.
You all, the Democrats, are not saying that a mayor doesn't have the right to add a person on the staff that wasn't budgeted. So that's not adding a third deputy mayor for education. That's not an issue.
What's at issue here is letting the public and letting the council know that when you're making these kinds of decisions, you know, this is trumpeted as an efficiency move. If it were trumpeted as an efficiency move, in reality, he would have held a press conference in which he would explain to the people of Marion County and Indianapolis, these are the changes we're making to make the mayor's office run more efficiently and to provide you better opportunities in our community. They didn't. They did this in secret. They did not tell the council. In fact, in the 3 months since the raises were granted, proposals came before the council dealing with the mayor's budget specifically. No mention of the elimination of positions, no mention of increases in pay. We went through the budget process last year, and the mayor's budget was granted, and it wasn't just a dollar figure. With that budget comes an understanding of a Manning table, and we granted that budget. The budget was passed, and if you're going to make those changes, which he can do, and in addition to calling for the mayor to rescind the pay raise and save the money, announced a proposal that we will take up in the coming weeks that will allow the council to have notification when raises are greater than 10%.
Let me ask, this is a dumb question, but this comes from with my manager's hat on. When you all get the budget as the council, don't the department heads tell you as part of that budget submission, included in our budget, we're planning or we're budgeting for raises for our employees or merit raises or cost of living raises or no raises? That's part of the explanation that they give you?
Certainly. And if the mayor had decided that he wanted to do something differently.
Or put a pool of money in there. Yeah.
If he wanted to decide with this budget to say, you know, I'm going to eliminate some of these positions. I'm going to transfer some responsibilities. He most certainly could do that. We anticipate that we will get those kinds of testimonies and input from various elected officials whose budgets we have to approve. But when the mayor goes and does this 3 months ago, makes no mention of this, tells no one about this, and we then learn about it after we've considered other appropriations that this absolutely would have been a relevant consideration for, but we were in the dark. We didn't know.
One of the things in yesterday's Sunday newspaper, they put pictures of everyone in the mayor's cabinet and key officials, including the department heads, and their different salaries. What I noticed was when Frank Straub was hired as public safety director, he was brought in at a higher salary than all of the other heads of departments of city county government. And the rationale was, well, he's from New York and blah, blah, blah. Get that. At that time, there was not an effort by this administration to say, oh, we're now paying the director of public safety $125,000 a year. We better bring up all the other heads of the departments, parks and public works and DMD, up to that level. The administration elected not to do that. They treated Frank Straub's position and the salary as kind of, well, this is a particular case. They bring in Jason Cloth, who is deputy mayor for education, at $120,000. Because if we didn't, we were going to lose into Chicago. Of course, my attitude is goodbye. Obviously, the intelligent thing to have done at the time would have been to raise the two other deputy mayors and the chief of staff to be equal and leave it at that. It looks to me like people in the mayor's office, you know, knocked on his door and say, you gave him a raise. What about me? That's not good management. That's sloppy management, in my view.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we can have a discussion about what the pay is to make sure that we can retain and attract quality individuals to help us manage and manage the public money and run the public services within the city. But I think it's interesting when the justification for these raises is to retain qualified individuals, and Mike Huber, who was the deputy mayor of economic development,
one of the mayor's best hires,
received a raise 3 months ago and is now left to make $190,000 at the airport. So if the rationale is we have to pay this to retain the quality individuals we have, it didn't work. And I think that we have to understand that before we get to the question of whether or not folks making $100,000 should make $120,000, we need to understand why our parks are in the condition that they're in, why it is that the libraries are not running at full capacity in terms of hours and availability, why we don't have the kinds of services that folks have paid their taxes to receive, and why it is that now we're facing really difficult cuts in public safety. The mayor is a convert recently to the idea that we need to reform some things. Councilor Vernon Brown and I sponsored a proposal that passed the council to create a fuel surcharge to allow for the recovery of some money within the police officers who had cars. We passed that in 2009. Here in 2010, we have had gas prices above $3 consistently. There was missed opportunities to collect that money. There's also indications, Amos, that the mayor has not managed the grants within the city well with regard to public safety. There are indications that there could have been millions of dollars that have been missed or have not been properly spent and appropriated once received, because there was not the capacity within the administration to handle those grants. I would think we would want to handle those kinds of situations first before we pat ourselves on the back and give bonuses or raises to the folks at the top of city government.
You may have questions for Brian Mahern. He is the vice president of the council. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's afternoon's names. Let me go to Larry right quick. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Brian and Amos.
Hi.
You know, you can do everything you want to do, Brian, as vice president of the council, our president of the council, our majority leader. But until you shut the city down, until Mayor Ballot comes to you in a bipartisan way and agrees to work together, you do it right now before you get too much up under you and before you even look at his budget. I would not even consider his budget and even have any committee meetings or anything else. You and Maggie can conduct that and tell them, if you come into this table, you better come right. And the one thing that we're doing in this city, if you've seen that big mess over there next to Lily's, north of south, that's the biggest waste of money. I mean, it looks like every time that there is a TIF district given, it's for a fornication mill or some booze joint being put up. I mean, you can't base your economy on booze joints. Because what's going to happen is people are going to be getting drunk and irresponsible, and you're going to add on to your local population a burden. That's all we're doing. So we need to check our sponsor in these two items. I mean, if you keep on doing it, keep on bonding out money, you're going to get nowhere. You need to shut the council down, tell the people that you appropriate money for, this is a necessary evil. We're going to shut it down until we can get on the same page here in this city. And I'm sure that the voters will understand when the shitty city starts setting down, because Mayor Ballard and his administration won't come to the table.
Let me let the councilman respond.
Well, I appreciate your passion. The residents, taxpayers of Marion County expect us to do their work and to do their work well. And up to this point, we haven't. We have reached out numerous times to the mayor in an effort to try to build the kind of coalition and work in common issues to move the city in a direction that the resident taxpayers expect. You know, when we stop and think about whether or not there are incentives given, be they TIF districts or abatements, we have to think about that the vast, vast majority of businesses within Marion County receive no incentive. Mm-hmm. They receive no abatement. They receive no TIF benefit. All they do is show up at work each day, try to employ folks, create sales or income tax, pay their property taxes, and want to have the city provide the kind of essential services that are now threatened because of the inability to properly prioritize. These businesses don't want a handout. These businesses want to know that public safety is in place, that the proper infrastructure, basic infrastructure, streets and sidewalks that should be there are there. And when we're not doing that, but instead are potentially selecting a few to receive a benefit, we need to take a step back and realize that the vast majority of Indianapolis's economy is from businesses that receive no special treatment.
Let me go to the phones and Greg at 239-1310. Hi there.
How you doing today, gentlemen?
Fine.
I want to say one thing. This is what I'm talking about things our society is funny. Now, normally the Tea Party will be out there chanting and everything against anything like this. But why, when one party does it, they ain't outside with signs and everything. You don't even hear them. They ain't out there with nothing. And this is something they say they're totally against. But I guess it depends on who's getting the money determines when they come outside with their signs. That's all I got to say. Thank you very much.
You know, that's an interesting. You had Brian Mahern at the press conference today, several members of the Democratic caucus. Have they heard from people on the other side of the aisle? Have they even heard from Tea Party folks saying, wait a minute, you're my council person. What are y'all doing?
I've not spoken with other members of the other caucus about this issue. We talk about
have any Tea Party people call Democrats and say, "Wait a minute, hey, we like where y'all standing on this."
No, I'm not aware that that's occurred. What we have heard from, again, our resident taxpayers who've said, you know, we don't have what we've already paid for. Why is this a priority? Why is this something that should be done at this point in time? And again, it's a question of timing and sensitivity.
Is it also the dumb management to leak out that you might ask police officers and firefighters to reopen their contract to defer their already scheduled 3% raise? I'm sure those firefighters and police officers are saying, wait a minute, you want us to defer what we already agreed to for 3% and you're giving your own people 22%?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's questions of equity all through this issue, and we have to look at the budget in a holistic way. If there is money that's not going to be expended, then we should hold that in reserve, knowing that there are some challenges ahead. You know, it bears noting that if you're an elected official, like the recorder or like the assessor or like the sheriff or others, you have to go through a process of the strategic hiring. That is overseen by the mayor and by the controller. If you wanted to consolidate jobs and provide maybe a 1% or 2% pay increase, you have to run a gauntlet to have the mayor approve that. There is no similar oversight, no third-party check for these kinds of decisions. And in fact, the proposal that we put forth wouldn't require council approval, just requires sunshine so that the public would know.
So you're telling me that if another independent elected official, the sheriff, the county clerk, the coroner, the recorder, wanted to do salary increases, they got to vet it through the city controller?
Absolutely. There are indications that their involvement in this process requires their consent. That even though elected officials have been budgeted money, much the way that the mayor says, I was budgeted this money and I'm managing it within my personnel character and I'm saving money, those same kinds of decisions by other elected officials are vetted by the controller and by the mayor's office, but there is no check on the mayor.
239-1310, 239-1310's afternoon's name is It Is Your Money. When we come back, we'll talk to Brian Mahern and kind of explain this. Part of the reason the mayor is mad is he's got a plan. He wants to make all of downtown, plus Indiana Avenue, plus all the way up to the old Bush Stadium, what they call a TIF district, where all the property taxes from our schools, the library, Indigo, township trustee, sheriff, would be diverted to some development. And you know the jobs aren't going to be people that live in those neighborhoods. Y'all know that. And that's another reason the mayor is mad, sent out a tweet beating up on Brian Mahern over something he didn't even do. How come the mayor hasn't gotten angry about other stuff around here? Anyway, it's Afternoons with Amos. It's Your Money after these. Welcome back. 239-1310, 239-13. Oh, it's getting wild on Twitter. Back to the phones and Travis. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
I would like to know... when are we going to stop hearing the excuses? Is it that the mayor is outsmarting you, or is the city council, Democrats, just going to be a rubber stamp for him? Because every time I look up, y'all sign something, then a month later, y'all come talking about what he's doing wrong.
What would you want them to do?
Want them to step up and start reading, looking at that paperwork. Ain't they lawyers, ain't they?
No, most of the members of the council are not lawyers. Let me repeat the question. What would you, in this salary increase thing, what would you want them to do?
I'm like Larry. It's time to stop something. If this, you're saying to me this mayor is doing something illegal, it's time to start doing something.
Okay. That's a good point.
Well, you know, I think there have been instances where the council has stepped up and tried to draw to attention some of the things that the administration's doing. Before the break, Amos referenced the issue of tax increment financing, and there were proposals that came before the council to create these districts that would capture the growth in income taxes that would otherwise go to schools, public transportation, the city, the county. And instead would go into a special fund that could be only used in that geographic area, in this instance, the downtown, that already has much of itself covered by a TIF district that has billions of dollars of property in it, some $60 to $70 million a year generated that is spent, again, back in downtown. So when those proposals came before the council, I thought it would be a good idea to have a better sense of what TIF was, and we created a study commission, a bipartisan intergovernment study commission with counselors, with the controller, with the auditor, with a member of the Metropolitan Development Commission, state legislature, Representative Bill Crawford helped as well. And after 24 hours of meetings and over many months, issued a very lengthy report running, I believe, with the appendages, maybe close to 100 pages, and discovered some interesting things that TIF districts in the downtown have no end date, that these districts will continue to capture property taxes that would have otherwise gone to our basic functions like public safety, schools and libraries, and public transportation. And it would go on and on and on. And the report came back and said that should stop. The other thing that came back was that the amount of property, 33% of the property, taxable property within within Center Township is located within a TIF. It's no wonder that our schools are struggling. It's no wonder that we're having trouble closing the gap from a budget. Much of the money is flowing into these special funds that are used only for development purposes. They're not all bad. The report came back with some recommendations that they could be used in specific instances, such as redevelopment. You know the parts of our community that could stand to be redeveloped, and we need to move forward with that. But we have to have in place the criteria and the mechanism to make sure that these are the appropriate things to do. And I think that that's one instance where the council is providing an appropriate check.
239-1310, 239-1310 is after news. The name is The Crowd That Believes That Any Mayor Has the Right to Jack Up the Salaries of Their Staff by Any Level Whatsoever, regardless of whether any other employee in the city gets a raise or not, points the finger at the Democrats and say, you all couldn't handle money because you allegedly overspent your own budget. How would you answer these apologists that never ran a business, never made payroll in their lives?
Well, I would ask people to consider whether or not we lead by example. And if the example is that before the job is done, you get a raise. If before the job is done, you get a healthy raise. I don't know of any businesses that profit very long under that model.
Now, you all added two professional staffers on the staff of the council.
We did. We fundamentally changed the model. Under the prior council majority, they hired those on a contract basis. Mm-hmm. And if they billed hours, they just billed hours, kept building and billing hours. We hired two professionals on a basis of full-time. Hope Tribble, who is a fine individual, a great addition to the council as our CFO, has put in a tremendous amount of time for the work and the pay.
On a salary.
On a salary, absolutely.
No overtime.
Oh, she staffed the TIF commission. She's involved in so many other things. And we are fortunate to not only have a person of her caliber, but her work ethic. And I absolutely stand behind President Lewis and Vernon Brown and our decision to hire those as full-time employees. We absolutely have gotten more than we would have gotten had they been contracted.
So whereas before, when Republicans had the majority, they had an attorney on contract. They had their own separate financial analyst. They didn't trust what the mayor was coming up with the numbers. They had their own financial analyst on contract, which means that's billable hours, and that's not minimum wage.
Right. Yes. And the more they worked, the more they were paid. And what we understood is we were going to have to do some important work. We knew that workload would be heavy, and we felt that the most prudent thing to do would be to hire qualified individuals and pay them appropriately, and I believe that we did that very publicly. I stand here today, and I think President Lewis and Vernon Brown will echo those same sentiments. We didn't hide that. We never hid that. We have here, though, the mayor providing these raises in which there was no discussion about this prior to, shortly after, and as you pointed out earlier, I'm not aware that the mayor himself has actually spoken to this. He has not provided a direct justification for why these salaries were granted and why they were granted at such a time as we're facing the public safety cuts in funding that we are facing.
And these two council employees, do they just work for the majority, or if Christine Scales or Councilman Cardwell wants to call up Hope Tribble or the attorney and say, I need some help, I need some advice, they provide it?
Absolutely. They're the CFO.
They're bipartisan?
Yes. They work for the council. When a request is made, I I know that there were budget briefings that were arranged by and facilitated by Hope Tribble that were attended by Republican counselors. So the idea that this is these are resources that are not available to the other counselors of the other caucus.
But that was not the case before. The majority had their counsel, their financial, and that was only for the majority caucus. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, I can't say that I never ask a question of Jim Steele, who was the counsel financial person. What I will tell you is that that person was only around in large measure during the budget season. There is much to do besides the time from August to when we pass a budget each year, and I think that's another advantage that we have by having those folks on staff as opposed to contractors.
You know, I know Jim Steele. Maybe if the mayor had had Jim Steele, he wouldn't have stood for that kind of foolishness, because Jim Steele was a very honorable, seasoned manager.
Right, and you know, the other point that I think bears mentioning here is we're not hypocritical. I mean, the council at the first of the year made a very conscious decision to make some cost savings. We set about to hire those positions, which we believe was more fiscally prudent. We also reduced the amount of meetings that we were going to have. We changed from mailing of meeting notices to electronics, and we also eliminated the travel. There was no travel. Counselors are not traveling within the budget, and we understood that from the get-go that we were going to have to be good stewards of the public money in these tough economic times.
Let me go to Reggie at 239-1310. Hi there.
Amos, how you doing?
I'm fine.
This is Amos. I just got a call, and I'm very upset from a very, very reliable source that the young boy that was shot in the head, he did have a brick in his hand, but he was shot in the head. This has been turned over to the prosecutor's office. So I don't know who can find out that information to find out that if that's true or not. And for what's happening right now with the mayors, it's just showing the lack of respect for all taxpayers, the money that's being used for other things other than what it should be used for. And then 6 months later, we find out a slush fund or some money has been found in another department. Seems like this is just a continuance of disrespect. And I certainly hope that the community keep their eye and ears on what comes out of the prosecutor's office with this shooting last night.
The last I heard, I did not hear that any suspects were identified in that shooting. Now, I've been in meetings all morning.
Yeah. Well, like I said, from a very, very reliable source, it was a Caucasian person who did the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
That it's going to be turned over to the prosecutor's office, but I just hope that the community can with the support of the council, to find out what's really going on. Maybe one of them can find this information out so we can get on top of this right away.
All right.
That's why I called you, Amos, to see what you can find out, your resources.
All right, we'll try to check that out. I appreciate it. Thank you. 239-1310. Back to the phones. And Sam, hi there.
Hey, hello, Brian. Hello, Amos. How you guys doing?
Fine. Good.
Hey, good. Hey, Brian, this pay raise deal, this happened in, what, May of this year, right?
That's correct. That's our understanding.
Okay. When did the council, when did you guys find out?
I think that different folks found out at different times, but I would say that we learned that there were members of the council who learned about this only a week or so ago.
Okay, well, the same with me, because I was listening to Amos, and I get a lot of my information from listening to Amos, but I found out from listening to Amos, and I'm just pretty much, you know, it's not passing the smell test with me. And what Reggie Jones just said as far as the respect, Ballard has no respect for the city county council. I would love to see when he has his budget presentation, you guys stand up and turn your back to him. But a message needs to be sent to the Ballard administration, because right now it sounds like, and I say this respectfully, but it sounds like the Democratic Party, we're whining now. I mean, like, we're crying like babies over some spilled milk. But we need to take it to Ballard, because what about the people that work with the city? Amos brought this up too. Work with the city that are non-union, that haven't had raises for years, that are really struggling. And like, I'm in Council District 9, I expect for my counselor to have a Council District 9 meeting and to get suggestions from us. Right now, it just seems like and I say this respectfully again, it just sounds like the Democrats, we have control of the council, but we just seem kind of weak. I'm just wondering, I mean, where's the fight at?
Right.
This guy's not going to stop doing what he's doing. I mean, we have to stand up to him. Do we need to go stand in front of his house with other city employees that haven't had raises? We have to take it to him.
Sure.
That's all I have.
Right. Well, let me first say that in District 9, you have a tremendous counselor in Joe Simpson. I've worked with Joe on a number of different issues on the council, and I know that he is a very, very valuable asset to our caucus and to our city. And you are absolutely right that the council needs to engage the mayor. I'm less concerned about whether or not he respects the council. I'm much more focused on whether or not he respects the input of resident taxpayers. Clearly, the resident taxpayers are the ones paying the bills. We need to remember that, and we need to be sensitive to the fact that these people are struggling. My constituents, people across the city, are struggling. We have a 9% unemployment. We have no comprehensive economic development plan. In fact, when the TIF Commission came back, that was one of the recommendations, is that we have this very onesie-twosie, scheme-driven economic development policy. We don't have a comprehensive plan. We haven't looked from county line to county line to identify the assets, to identify the opportunities, and to set about systematically to try to bring about a well-being to the entire county. Instead, they've selected particular areas and with abatements and with TIF districts, trying to bring that about. Instead of understanding what can we do on a comprehensive basis for economic development, and we are pressing that forward, being criticized. The administration says that that they don't believe that that's necessarily needed. I say the vast majority of businesses don't receive abatements. The vast majority of businesses aren't within a TIF district, and we can't cover the county in TIF districts. We need to figure out a way to provide the services that folks have paid for and deserve to receive and deliver them, and don't congratulate ourselves until we've done that.
239-1310 half the news, name is. Let me go to the phones. And speaking of City County Councilor Joe Simpson, Joe Simpson, hi there.
Hey, Amos, how you doing?
You heard your constituent, Sam, say maybe it's time for a meeting.
Well, Brian, you know, and Councilor Mayhern is right. There's a lot of information. The reason that we are sitting here and we're not just sitting here, we're asking for information like the financial statements. By code, there are three reports that we should have been receiving since I've been on the council, and we only got one of those three, and it was for May and June. And we haven't seen the financial statements since November, since the mayor got elected. And so there's a lot of details in those financials that we're not privileged to right now because they're coming up with all kind of excuses. They're not there. You got to get it by a CD or you know, we haven't got it there. So there's all kind of excuses. And the controller, for him to change those reports that the different departments, as Brian, Council Mayhern just got to talking about, when he ain't even producing financial statements, you know, and for him to, you know, it's just what he said. The mayor and them feel that they can do anything they want to do when they want to do it. But in the end, when we get those financial statements, it's going to tell us the story of what they've been doing and how they've been doing it. And this is budget time. And if they expect to think that they got a real soft, easy way to go in this budget, if they're listening, get ready, because you better bring that financial information first. Or I'm going to find a way that this budget don't get passed on time until we get it. We are not going to pass. And Brian was there last year when the Republican ran it through. We're not running anything through. And I think Councilman Mayhern is right. We're going to be as prudent as we can to make sure that the information that we get from the city first is what we know, and we're not going to pass a budget based on something that they're bringing to us, because I don't trust them.
Is this something where Councilman Simpson, Councilman Mayhern, where the folks who put you in office are saying, I don't think they want you to have a picket line. I don't think that's the proper role for necessarily an elected official, but they're saying there comes a point in which you say no, not no, to say no without having a credible alternative. But are we at a point where, and you guys may not want to answer that because that may be tipping your whole card, but is this a point where we say we will, as a council, we are not going to approve any more development deals until folks come to the table the right way?
Well, I mean, in council, Councilman Mayhern is leading that whole TIF discussion. And I've said it to you before, and then Councilman Mayhern heard it from me yesterday while we were talking. I'm not doing the Mass Avenue TIF. I think that it is what the it is what I've learned is that the Mass Avenue TIF is not depressed. Those folks work very hard down there to get Mass Avenue the way it is. And if they want to do those two development that they are planning on doing down there at the fire, where the fire station is and at IPS bus lot, then they should be able to stand on their own. Now, I read in IBJ that, you know, without the taxpayers' money, it's not profitable. Then why are you doing a project that is not profitable without tax dollars? You should be able to go to the bank and do it. And that's my whole issue, and I think that's the issue Council Mayhern has got, is that are some of these projects worth doing if it wasn't for taxpayer dollars? And what we're learning is that some of them are not, because they can't. Why don't they go to the bank rather than using the taxpayer dollars, in which we need to use to better our communities and our neighborhood? And I want people in the neighborhood to clearly understand that our job is to make sure that this city is financially sound. That's the way we make services out here better. I had a client who complained to me about how bad the parks are being cut. They don't have money to cut those parks. They're cutting back on a lot of stuff that people are paying a lot of attention to, and that's because the 25th floor ain't spending no money because they don't have any money. And it's the question I asked the other day. Where is the second half of the water money?
All right. Let me ask Brian Mayhern so I can kind of close this out. A week from today, supposedly, is when the mayor introduces his budget. So is that when budget-getting starts?
Well, I hope not.
I'm starting a new – that may be my Twitter hashtag.
Well, I hope not, but as Councilor Simpson said, you know, he's not collaborated with us. He's mm-hmm. not provided us with the information to help us draw the conclusions so we could come together with some ideas, listen to his ideas, and fashion what would be a budget reflective of our priorities. I think in large measure the community knows what needs to be done. We know what they need to be done. We have to work together to bring that about. But it's hard. It's hard to work with somebody who won't provide you with the information, who won't collaborate, who won't listen to what it is that you have to say, will not give you an opportunity for input.
Right.
And when we look at the way in which they do things, everything's a special. Right? Special raises for the top staff. Special mm-hmm. deals for economic development.
Right.
Nothing comprehensive. Why don't we understand that the only way we're going to succeed is together? Where everybody has a stake, everybody has a role, and everybody has a part to play. And you know, we're the city is not the Marine Corps. The mayor is not a lieutenant colonel. We have to collaborate and cooperate, and that's a very different situation. And we will continue to reach out to the mayor. We will continue to try to do the people's work together, but we will not shy away from expressing opinions that differ with the administration and go forth and explain those.
All right, Joe Simpson, I appreciate that. Move on, because I got to clear the line so we can talk to Scott Reske. Brian Mayhern, Vice President of the City County Council. Why do I think August is going to be a hot month? Why do I think, as we talk as a city about what are our priorities? This is all a budget is setting priorities, whether you got a barbershop, whether you have a small business, or whether you're running a government, let the local, the state, or the federal level. Budgets is when you set priorities. And maybe it's time to tell the folks downtown some of your priorities aren't important anymore. Maybe that's the only thing these people understand. Brian Mayhern, Vice President of City County Council, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.